History shows that evil is real. Amen? And personal. And in fact, some individuals have become the very personification of evil. This month, we remember one such person named... Haman. This festival of Purim, which is celebrated on March 14th, commemorates God's victory over Haman. Not March 14th, Adar 14, right? Did I say March?
Yeah.
It's not March. Adar. It commemorates God's victory over Haman's evil intentions to utterly destroy the Jewish people. Who's ever wanted to do that before? Today, the Feast of Purim is a lighthearted holiday. You see how we had fun? Traditionally celebrated by humorous enactments of the Book of Esther. Did we do that? And also by eating great pastries called Hamantaschen. How many of you brought Hamantaschen to eat? How many? Four of you. We're going to have the great Hamantaschen eat-off in the lobby in a few minutes. Hamantaschen are Haman's ears, right? That's where that word comes from. And they're all part of the tradition of, and many people play practical jokes similar to April Fool's Day today. So, yeah, except I never get any chocolate candy. Yeah, I don't even get the 10% I asked for. But the actual events of Purim are recorded in the Bible. Oh, don't give me that. They're in the Book of Esther, where anything but the lighthearted for the Jews living at the time, they weren't so lighthearted about it, were they? The ancient world was cruel. Entire cultures and people got destroyed through wars. Even so, rarely, if ever, was genocide practiced during peace times against a people submitted under the rule of a king. That never really happened. Rarely, if ever, was the mass execution of such a people methodically planned to be carried out all in one day. Yes, this is the atrocious evil that's associated with the name Haman. Esther 3:3 says, 313, and the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. It is plain to see that such a decree is evil. But what about the person behind it? There have always been villains like Herod, Haman, Hitler, and Hussein. There have always been groups like Hamas and Hezbollah who have sought to wipe out the Jewish people. They have all been diabolically inspired by Hasatan, who is Hebrew for the adversary, who is God's sworn enemy. He longs to wipe out the Jews because, in so doing, he imagines himself defeating God's plan and making him to be an impotent liar. After all, God promised to protect and preserve the Jewish people. In fact, one might say that he has staked his reputation on the internality of the Jews. No wonder the destruction of the Jewish people has been an objective of evildoers throughout history. While those demonically inspired individuals probably do not know or care about spiritual realities, their own evil inclinations have provided Satan with opportunities to use them. Why do people have such a hard time associating evil with a person or persons with naming them as evil? When President Bush called terrorists evildoers, he was ridiculed as though he had made a blunder unbefitting his office. Why try to justify the actions of evil people? I remember a public service ad on television that said, Don't leave your keys in your car, or you might help a good boy go bad, right? We have fashioned blame in shifting into an art form to avoid the harsh reality that people are responsible for their evil actions. Why? There are things about evil that by nature we do not want to know. A major source of evil in this world is the human heart. And we've all have one of those, don't we? From earliest times, Genesis 6, 5, the Lord saw the wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This was not merely an evaluation of one or two generations. It was God's diagnosis of the human predicament for all time. Yeshua said in Mark 7, 21, "For from within out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." Evil is not some unnamed force that exists solely outside the realm of humanity. The Bible speaks about evil 462 times and specifically identifies people as evildoers 44 different times. Not only is evil real, people are evil. And part of our evil nature is that we don't want to admit it. Our modern and postmodern mindsets resist the idea that evil has become inherent in human nature because of the fall of our race. How ironic then that when we're confronted with wrongs, their wrongs, many shrug it off by saying, "Well, I'm only human." Precisely. Deep down, everyone knows that not one of us is exempt from evil thoughts, words, or deeds. Every one of us has that ability. Most would simply prefer to call it something else. Perhaps we avoid the reality that our hearts are evil because we reserve the words for the likes of Haman, who, after all, must be in a category shared by other ruthless murderers like Hitler and Hussein. But Haman's heinous crime did not begin as a diabolical plan for genocide. It grew out of what the Greeks call hubris, H-U-B-R-I-S. It grew out of the wretched, seething resentment of inappropriate pride. Esther 3:5, when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath. That seething wrath towards Mordecai, the Jew, gestated and gave birth to Haman's monstrous plan to wipe out all the Jews. Could something as common as hubris lead to something as well as evil as genocide? Yes, pride is a powerful deceiver that causes untold destruction. It keeps us from seeing and hating our own sin. The feeding and festering of arrogance under any cover, be it nationalism, religious fervor, or you name it, can take human beings down a maniacal path towards genocide, gas chambers, slaughter of innocent Kurdish women, how about that, and children. But it will not always be so. Evil has a destiny, and it begins with the letter H. You probably understood by now I've been saying a lot of H words. Haman had a hangman's gallows built for the special execution of Jews he hated most. Mordecai was the guy. But Haman's plans backfired in one sudden moment of judgment. Standing before the king, Queen Esther confronted Haman with his evil plan. The truth came out in the most unexpected way through a young woman who had risked her life to uncover the plot. With Haman's wickedness revealed, justice was swift and relentless. Now, Harbonah, one of the eunuchs, this is in Esther 7, 9 through 10, said to the king, "Look, the gallows 50 cubits high which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him high on it." Hang him high, yeah, Clint Eastwood. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Those gallows are part of the history of the Jewish people, their survival, but they will always symbolize God's intention to judge all evil someday. God will judge evil, if not in this life, as was the case of Haman, then most certainly in the next. Evildoers have a destiny, and that destiny is called hell. Hades. Yeah. One day they will all stand before the king to have justice meted out. And then there will be no avoiding the reality that we have sinned, that we have thought, said, and done what was evil in God's sight. Thankfully, God did not condemn us to be left to our own evil inclinations. God sent his own beloved son, a Jew named Yeshua, into this world to change the destiny for good, our destiny for good. Satan, in his pride, tried to get Yeshua to bow down to him. Failing that, he foolishly constructed a gallows from which Yeshua willingly allowed himself to be hung. The enemy must have thought Yeshua's death would defeat the plan of God. Instead, that gallows, the cross of Yeshua, became the point of victory by which the adversary and all his evil accomplices would be destroyed. Purim teaches us that evil has a name, a source, and a destiny. It demonstrates how God uses the unexpected to separate good from evil, to preserve his people, and to put forward his plans. Though we see our sin on a far smaller scale, evil still resides in each of us. Its source is pride, which has corrupted every human heart and given birth to unholy thoughts, words, and choices. But God used the most unexpected means to separate us from our sin. He nailed it to Calvary so that he could give us a new name, a new heart, and a new destiny. The cross became the means by which our own sin would be executed so that we might be saved. That is good news that we must believe and proclaim to our world. Evil is real. Hell is real. And because of these realities, we have been given the only real solution, the finished work of our Messiah, Yeshua. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen.